Welcome everyone to your edition of Everything Real Estate with your host today. My name is Maurice Muhammad. Today we will be bringing to you a very special guest, someone with real estate experience spanning over 10 years based on my research. We have Juan Latorres, and he's a mortgage originator. So with Everything Real Estate, our intention is to bring information to the community and bring information to the underserved community and share and impart information that you can use, relevant, real-time information in this industry. I have been in the real estate industry over 20 plus years. I'm an author. I am licensed in four states, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Everything Real Estate, our intention is to bring real life current information so that you can use it in real time with the industry experts, boots on the ground, those that are doing it, those that are in the field, making a difference. And, you know, sometimes we call real estate combat a combat sport. It's hand-to-hand contact sport because it's so we bring those individuals that have real-life experience right to you. So you can ask your questions. We welcome your questions. We welcome your information that you bring if you have any recommendations as to what you want to know. So this series that we're embarking on is a series with the intention of being a home buyer's workshop that never ends. So we're starting out today with the money portion of it. We'll be bringing you guests from the insurance industry, every aspect of the real estate industry and real estate transaction you'll get to hear from. We're going to start out why we do it is because if we don't, who will? It is important to own where you live. If you can rent, in most cases, you can own. So, and we want to really destroy the myths and all the those things out there that may hinder you from buying and just things that are not true. So we want to bring actual facts and bring the facts and bring information so that you, the consumer, can make an informed decision when you're purchasing your home. All right. So each one teach one. And I believe that it is a crime if you know something and do not share it. So no more from myself. Today, we have with us a very experienced individual, special guest, and he is Juan Latorres out from Unity Bank. Juan Latorres from Unity Bank. He has a supervised staff. He's a branch manager at Nat Penn. The span of his experience is vast. Let's get it here. He was a branch manager at Nat Penn Bank. He has a branch manager at M&T Bank. He was a mortgage loan consultant at Univest, a loan originator at Prime Lending, and currently he is a mortgage loan officer at Unity Bank. So it's needless to say, his credentials speak for themselves, and he's definitely more than qualified to answer questions on real estate. So we are welcoming your questions. If you're viewing this broadcast, it will be rebroadcast this evening at 7 p.m. If you're with us, we'll accept your comments. You can post your comments if you're on YouTube platform, they're on multiple Facebook platforms as well. You can just present any questions that you may have. You can definitely welcome. So no more for myself and about Juan Latorres. Juan has a unique combination of knowledge in mortgage banking, training, sales, and finance with over 11 years in the mortgage industry and knowledge with banks, as you just heard, and mortgage brokers. When Juan is your loan officer, you can be confident to know you're working with the person that has not the knowledge to get you the right mortgage. He is constantly motivated to meet the needs of his customers. Outside of work, Juan and his wife are constantly helping with school fundraising activities. Juan enjoys spending time with his family. He's a family man. So I'm going to bring Juan in and I believe Juan has some information he wants to share with you. We are going to talk about 3% down payment versus the 3%, 3.5% FHA loan, why it may be a good idea to get a 3% conventional loan versus a 3.5% FHA loan. Juan will answer all those questions and give you information. So we want, again, destroy the myth as to why it may be better to get a 3% conventional loan versus 3.5% FHA loan. No more for myself. I would like to bring Juan to present himself and give you his story. Juan, the floor is yours. May have to unmute your mic. I think you're muted. You got to unmute your mic, Juan. Hit unmute. Hit unmute. Hit on mute, Juan.
I hear you.
Oh, there you go. Got you. Okay, so tell us about yourself, Juan. Who are you, where, and where do you hail from, and just what?
Thank you for having me on. I'm from Unity Bank. I've been doing mortgages and finance for over 20 years right now. Here to talk about and help out. Understand the difference between FHA and 3% conventional program, and the pros and cons of each program, and also explain a closing cost estimate to get an idea what to expect, you know, when you're looking to buy a house, how much money you need and what goes into it.
So, all right, if you can, I know you have some slides and some data to present to the audience, right, and to those that may view this later. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your company and the programs that they have before we get into that material, and what programs or what do you
offer? Yeah, Unity Bank, we're a small community bank with about 16 branches based out of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And, you know, We do regular conventional financing with FHA portfolio. We're a small bank where underwriting is done efficiently. Mm-hmm. Get a file underwritten in less than a week. It's 3 days. Mm-hmm. We have that hands-on service where, you know, you need to call someone or talk to someone. You know, you either call me, my processor, or I can just quick make a phone call and speak to someone in underwriting. So you give that personal touch.
It's
a nice, good community bank.
It makes a difference. Definitely makes a difference to be able to reach out and pick up the phone and talk to somebody that's going to help walk you through it, especially a big transaction such as a home purchase, for sure. Yeah. So can you tell us what do you do? You know, what do you do? What you do as far as to help individuals get to the other side of the transaction?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, when they come to me, they need to know what the difference is with what's involved with buying a house. Also, you know, with the rates and the fees and so on. Our bank is very competitive when it comes to rates and fees. We're hard to beat. But at the same time, too, I educate my customers from start to finish. I let them know what's going on, you know, what to expect in each detail of each program. Like with FHA, you know, you have a 3.5% down program. You could go conventional with 3% down program. With the difference with that, and depending what's going on in the market right now, if you want to go FHA or if you want to go conventional or some other type of loan up that meets your needs. But it, right now, the biggest things in this market right now, it's conventional.
Okay.
And I try to educate the customers. All right, you need to go more or less conventional. Depending on your situation, we might have to go FHA. But a lot of people like going FHA because of the seller's assistance allowance is greater than conventional with less money out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's the main difference with that program. And plus FHA, which a lot of customers aren't aware of, if you don't put 10% down or more, your mortgage insurance is for the life of the loan. That's a big cost savings too over the long run if you go conventional 3% down. Even though the rate might be a little higher on the conventional side, you might be better off just going conventional over FHA, especially in this market where a lot of the sellers prefer to take a conventional financing over FHA.
So just for clarity's sake, right? So when you say for the life of the loan, if you don't put down 10% more, for the sake of the those that may not know what that means, so are you saying, can you give an idea, what's an average number monthly payment? What does that look like? Because it's over 360 months versus what? That, can you give just what that looked like? What's an average of the savings that a person might realize if they...
Okay. With FHA, if you put less than 10% down, your mortgage insurance is for the life of the loan unless you refinance out of it down the road. And so with that being said, if you have an FHA mortgage insurance is, say, $170 a month.
Got you. Wow.
So usually... once you get 20% equity in your home, that usually falls off.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in that instance with FHA, that $170, you're going to be paying for the life of the loan. If you stay in that loan for 30 years, that's, say, $170 every month you're paying. Where in conventional, where it takes, once you get to 20%, it goes away. So in my scenario, conventional, it's about $172 a month. It's like $2 more. But at the same time, too, basically after you get 20% down, which usually could take up to 10 years to get, and then you have another 20 years going on with that, and you have to worry about, and that goes away. But FHA, it doesn't go away. So you have that. And you stay that same loan that you're paying that for 20 more years, basically.
So in essence, that $170, just using that number as an example, would stay on the loan for the life of the loan versus
correct.
It dropping off after the loan, the property is yeah. 20% or 22%
yeah,
the value.
240 more payments,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're paying... about $41,000 more over there for the loan.
Okay.
Just on that mortgage insurance, or
so
you could on conventional.
Is so if on an FHA loan, if you're not putting down 10%, which most people don't, because that's why the 3.5% is on average probably it's a high number of individuals putting down 3.5%.
Yeah, so that's why.
Go ahead.
Correct. That's why most people go with FHA because of no money out of pocket.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Then you would stay with the life of the loan where you can potentially with your bank put it to 3% down, 5% yeah. less, and also realize a savings after and that mortgage insurance would drop off the loan after 20 at a certain point.
Yeah. So yeah, like with the conventional 3% down program, if you qualify, that rate, the mortgage insurance, about $172 falls off after you get 20%, which usually takes roughly close to 10 years or more, around 10 to 15 years for it to fall off, depending on the value and so on, the loan amount. But it over the long run, if you just stay in that loan, you save that money.
Got you.
It becomes cheaper over the long run.
So I know you brought some information and for information to go into that 3%, going to share your screen, and you want me to let you go ahead and impart that information to our individuals. You need anything from me, you can go ahead and share your screen. You present it, I'll open it up. Once you share the screen, I can. So 3% down versus, oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, so this is the 3% conventional. As you can see, sorry, trying to get used to.
Take your time. It's all good.
Okay.
So what is this that we're looking at? So the individual.
This is an estimated closing cost on a 3% down program. Okay.
So estimated closing costs on a 3% down program. This is what a person can look forward to estimating of what they'll pay based on these numbers, right? That you have.
Correct.
So if a person's looking to buy a house for $250,000, this is an estimate of what they'll pay with a 3% program versus a 3.5% FHA. Okay, got you.
Yeah. So you have annual purchase price $250,000, taxes $4,000, and just an estimate on a property. Annual insurance costs $900. With 3% down, your loan amount $242,500. Mm-hmm. And with at a rate of 5.25%. Again, that rate's not current. It's just a rate that from that I at the time I created the sheet back in May.
Gotcha.
So, and then your annual percentage rate to your left under it says mortgage charges. You know, usually when it comes to a mortgage, like on our end, we quote all the fees that go into processing a loan. So whether they are fees we charge or fees that are charged by a third party. And what I mean by a third party is you have to hire an appraisal company. That's like a third party, whatever they charge. They may charge $500, but we estimate $650.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Credit report. We have a credit agency that we use to run your credit. We make sure the flood certificates run, so make sure there's no, your home's not in a flood zone and other stuff on there. The only thing that we physically charge and that we retain is the application fee. Everything else is third-party related fees. But I refer to them as pass-through fees, where we collect the money and then we pass it off to those companies.
So can you say that again? So your fees for the loan is what is the only fee that you have? What's your fee from the bank for a loan? What can someone expect the fee to be to come from you or your bank?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
So if you could repeat what you said your fee is. So because that's something that's good. That's a good point. Highlight of the fees.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I like to highlight is basically when you go down here, you have all these different fees that are involved, which are standard fees. No matter what company you deal with, that you have to work. Some charge points, some don't. As you can see in our scenario, it says total points. There's no points under mortgage charges. You know, and then you have a credit report fee, application, appraisal, tax service fee, flood certification, and then you have title fees. And then whatever
all those
title
are
company.
Fees, but what is fee? What fee is paid directly to the bank? So those are fees that a third party would charge. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And those are estimates. We're not a title company. We just do our best job to try to understand and estimate what the title company is going to actually charge us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are their fees. And then there's a transfer tax. In the state of Pennsylvania, there's a 2% transfer tax. 1% is paid by the seller and 1% is paid by the buyer. And then you have escrow that you have to set up with your taxes and government recording fee and insurance stuff. So all that gets rolled in. And then, as you can see to the right there, your payment information, what your monthly payment would be based on everything up there with the insurance and taxes, the rate, principal and interest, and mortgage insurance. And then underneath there, you have your total amount money needed to buy this house. You're looking at, you know, closing costs, prepaids. Prepaids are stuff that you have to set up for, that you have to pay ahead of time. Your insurance policy, a couple months worth of escrow for insurance and taxes, interest. And then you add all that up with your down money, and you come out with a total of like $20,640.47 that you would need all in to buy this scenario, house in this scenario.
Okay. So for the persons that's going to look at this and say, this looks like a bunch of math to me, a bunch of numbers, I just want to know, give it to me simple so I can understand. What is it safe to say? And every number, every house is different. But looking at the number of total cash needed of roughly $20,000 and the purchase price of $250,000, is it safe to say that on an average, we can look somewhere between 9 to 12% as a purchase price average? So the, you know, what you're going to need. So if a person is looking to buy a home, and you're the, and this is, I'm asking you because this is what you do, and I don't want, you know, so if I'm taking my client out and I'm going to, they ask me, which, you know, hey, how much am I going to need? And they're in the $300,000 market. Is it safe to say that they're going to be somewhere need between 9 and 10% of that?
Out of pocket, you're looking about 9 to 12% around there, because you can look at the same property at two homes that are selling the same dollar amount, and you might be in a different county or a different area. That even house A selling for $250 and the taxes are $4,000, then you go to house B selling for $250 but the taxes are $7,000. So, you know, that could throw a that can kind of be misleading. Mm-hmm. So another $3,000 difference in something like that, you're looking at, say, 23,640 divided by 250,000. Yeah, still within that range, a 9 to 12% there. So I like to go on the higher end.
So depending on taxes, let me restate that then. Is it safe to say that depending on taxes, is in on an average, the price point you're going to be looking at out of pocket, roughly between 9 and 12% of your own money to get into a purchase?
That could be a safe number.
Okay, so a person can, with a $30,000 of savings, as long as they qualify for $300,000 home or $290,000 home, it's safe to say that it's a good potential that they have a good chance of getting in that home. Now, with your program, are there any seller assist allowed with this 3% down program?
Both programs allow seller's assistance. Mm-hmm. FHA, with a minimum of 3.5% down, it'll allow you up to 6% seller's assistance. Where conventional, with the regular 3% conventional program, if you only put 3% down or less than 10%, you could only get 3% seller's assistance. You need to put 10% down or more to get a higher assistance from the seller, at least it's to get 6% seller's assistance.
So for the sake of clarity, because I lost that. So on FHA program, they allow 6%. So now we state we clarify that between 9 and 12% will get you in the home. If it's an FHA loan, you are allowed 6% of that 9% back from the seller as a credit. So in essence, you will be bringing anywhere between 3%, the difference.
Yeah. So with a 6% seller's assistance, you could ask technically on this scenario on $250,000, you could ask the customer for basically $15,000 towards closing costs with 6% seller's assistance. That's enough.
From this scenario, then that would mean you would come to the table with the balance, which is $5,000 and change.
I'm sorry?
So in this scenario, if the owner of that home was to give back the $15,000, the borrower, person that's buying the home, would only have to come to the table with $5,000.
Yes. Well, no. Yes, that scenario wouldn't be the case because that seller's assistance could only touch the closing costs, cannot go into the down money. The buyer has to use, in that scenario, $7,500 has to come out of the buyer's pocket or a gift from a friend, a family member. But that won't be able to impact. It could only cover the closing costs and the prepaids. So basically, it would only cover like $13,000-something.
Got you.
Because seller's assistance cannot touch the down money at all. Okay. And that's what basically, and then the other plate, and the other one, the conventional side, your same thing with that. You could get 3% seller's assistance on that and get $7,500 given towards your money needed. And that'll just reduce what your closing costs is, not your down money. You have your down money and then you have closing costs.
So this $20,000 and $640 includes down money and closing costs, correct?
I'm sorry?
So the $20,640 cash needed to close in this scenario includes down money?
No, also. That's total cash needed to buy. Gotcha. Okay. And that total cash needed includes your closing costs and down money. So, in that scenario, $7,500 could only be applied towards the closing costs, not the down money. And the same thing with FHA. If you got $15,000 towards your closing costs, you wouldn't be able to use the whole amount because that'll exceed what your actual closing cost is, and it'll dip into your down money.
So in essence, this is less than 10% because the purchase price is $250,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And total cash needed is $20,640.
Correct.
So in this scenario, what's the reason that that's so low in why is it under 10%? And I'm just.
Because that 3%, it's a 3% down program.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically taking account of, both FHA and the examples that I have here, both FHA and the conventional program are basically the same. But there's a little bit more money involved on the FHA side up front because of
mortgage insurance.
It comes out to $22,000 because you're putting a 0.5% down more.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got that going on right there. So that 0.5% equals, an additional $1,500 compared to, $1,250 more compared to the 3% down program. And plus the closing costs seem there's a little higher on the closing costs because the FHA has different fees and structures that they charge with certain things. So the application fee is a little higher. And then you have the mortgage insurance in that deal. But when you look at the top here, at the actual amount of the mortgage, when you look at the purchase price, $250,000, with 3.5% down, the actual mortgage is $241,250. Then you got to roll in the upfront mortgage insurance premium. FHA charges you mortgage insurance premium, and they usually roll it into your loan. You can pay it upfront and pay it and not include it in your loan, but most people who go with this program don't, and they roll it into their loan. And
so can you explain that what you just said about, can you explain that? You can pay it up front. Can you explain that a little bit more? What
the upfront mortgage insurance is, the insurance premium that you pay to protect the bank.
And that's for over the whole life of the loan. That's 30 years, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That you pay to protect the bank just in case you default on the loan, you stop making payments. Mm-hmm. So that helps limit the liability for FHA because you're not putting 20% down. So it's going to limit the liability for the bank and FHA and limit their loss because they're insuring that piece and you're paying for that protection. So in the first year up front, at the time of mortgage, you're paying 1.75% of the loan amount of the purchase. Of the loan amount, and that gets rolled into your loan, and so you're paying interest on top of it.
And so then, it's safe to say that that insurance policy is in the event that the loan defaults, that the FHA can submit a claim to be reimbursed and to help compensate their loss. So when that insurance policy, so for those that don't know what the mortgage insurance is, it protects the mortgage and protects the bank from a loss if, in fact, the loan goes bad or is defaulted on. Correct?
Yes, okay. Protects the bank. It doesn't protect the customer. It's more right. To protect the bank,
right,
or the mortgage company, whoever gives the loan out. So it's for their protection because they're taking that risk because you're not putting 20% down. So and that's... Okay. That's what's going on. So that's built into the loan. And then you have a monthly premium that you pay every month for the mortgage insurance going forward.
So in these two scenarios, it looks like the interest rate is higher on the FHA loan. I think I saw 6.1% versus 5% on the conventional.
Yeah. And so you have an FHA. Because of the extra costs that are involved with rolling in the first year premium and other stuff into it, your interest rate's 5%, but your APR is actually 6.14%. Usually have a big gap between your rate and your APR. Usually fees that are impacting that are rolled into the loan.
Can you explain the difference between the interest rate and the APR? What's the difference between the interest rate and an APR for the consumers that may have that question?
Well, the rate is basically, you know, the rate you pay to get that deal. But at the same time, too, the APR is a combination of the fees, certain fees that you pay, if you pay any points, any... mortgage insurance, all that's rolled in, and then interest that's being paid. Mm-hmm. So that all gets rolled in, and then they calculate, I don't know, the 100% of the working behind how they do all the math.
One has fees in it and one does not. Is that?
Yeah, the conventional doesn't have, if we go back to the conventional,
For the sake of it, both loans are good loans. It just depends on the consumer. It sounds like depends on what the customer needs and what works best for the customer will determine which loan is better. So we're not saying that one is better or more better than the other. It really depends on the individual, correct?
See? It all depends on the individual, you know, mm-hmm. what you have, what your scenario is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're... FHA, a lot of people go with FHA because of they have less money out of pocket. They want to get more seller's assistance if they can. Sometimes it has a higher tolerance for high debt to income ratio and lower credit scores. So that's where a lot of times people go with FHA. Where conventional, they have a lower tolerance for debt to income ratio. like when I say debt to income ratio, conventional, I let you go between 45 and 50% depending on your credit score. And where FHA lets you go up to about 55%. Again, and that's, but it's based on your credit score and what's showing up on your credit report too. So if you're tight on income and assets sometimes, it might be better off going FHA because that's what you might certainly qualify for compared to conventional.
Got you.
Good. When I first bought my first home, I had an FHA loan, but back then FHA was a whole different ballgame. And mortgage insurance went away after you had 20% equity in it, where it's not the case anymore. And the cost, the mortgage insurance, there was different costs to it and so on. I can't remember if it was better or worse, but things usually get worse as time goes on, like taxes and everything usually increase. So I'm assuming mortgage insurance is a little bit more expensive back then, but over time it has hopefully decreased, or I'm not sure what really, I can't remember that far now that I think about it.
So what are the current, what is the current rates today? What are the current rates are basically?
Current rates today, you're looking, it's getting worse. It's not an ideal market right now for rates. Right now, rates you're looking at around 7% or higher. And there's a good chance they're going to get worse.
So in light of the market and where you see the market going now, what would you say that a customer should be doing? What should individuals be saving their money and waiting to purchase? Or do you recommend that individuals still go out and start looking to buy today if they qualify?
I mean, the past couple of years has been insane with the market. People losing out in bids and all. In this market right now, you know, it all depends on your situation. I mean, if you can afford to wait, you're not in a rush, you might want to save up as much money as you can and take care of this stuff. But at the same time, too, in this market, you have less competition. Where if you were losing out on bids before and you had more people in the game, it was harder for people to find a home. So it all depends on the individual situation and what's going on in their current life. If they want to get moving and they're serious about buying a house, you know, it might be a better time to be able to negotiate for seller's assistance in this market, because the homes might be on the market longer. So usually when people come to me and they go, oh, I want to get seller's assistance, the house is on the market 2 days, I always tell them, good luck. It's going to be tough.
So for those that may not know what seller assistance, sorry, I'll cut you off. My apologies. Go ahead. You were saying something?
I'm sorry?
I thought I cut you off. I asked my question after you finish.
What about seller?
So for the consumer who may not know what seller assistance is, can you explain what that is?
Assistance is what customers, the borrower needs help to help cover closing costs. And they ask the seller of the house to help them, you know, pay some of their closing costs. Not everyone agrees to it. In the past couple of years, it's been really hard to get. But if the house is usually if the house is on the market for quite a long time, you might be able to get something from the seller to help you with your closing costs. Mm-hmm. And so that could limit the money out of pocket for you. Again, your real estate agent should be able to give you a guide and, you know, tell you, okay, hey, I spoke to the other agent. This house has a lot of interest in it. You know, I wouldn't recommend asking for seller's assistance or just go with this price or whatever. But in the past, If people want to give money, sometimes they will. And but again, lately it's been tough for a seller to agree to give you money to buy a house.
So the bright side of the rate going up is that you have an opportunity probably to get seller assist, a better chance of getting seller assist when you wouldn't have in the past because of the demand.
And you have less competition because there's less people out there buying because they're sitting on the sideline waiting for things to happen, you know, whether the economy to improve or the rates to come down. I don't see the rates coming down anytime this year. I see them actually getting worse. And but at the same time, too, the house would most likely sit on the market a little longer where the seller would be more hopefully agreeable to helping you with your closing costs.
Gotcha. So why do you do what you do? Why do you do mortgages? Why it seems like you've been in the industry in the money business for a long time?
I'm good at what I do. Not to be cocky or anything.
Good.
Yeah. So I know my stuff. I know the ins and out of the market. I love working with the people and guiding them, you know, and helping them understand what they're getting involved with. I enjoy real estate. It's a combination. I like working with numbers and I enjoy real estate. You know, I bought several homes myself. I'm a landlord and, you know, an investor and so on. So I'm very in tune with the market and I know what's going on.
Got you. Nice. So what would you say your secret sauce is to that separates Juan from the rest and separates you from everybody else?
When you deal with me, you know what's going on. I make sure I educate my customers. I promise what I deliver from start to finish. And, you know, I try to, if you don't understand something, I'll take the time to make sure you know what you're getting into and explain everything to you. Like with the spreadsheets there, I provide those to my customers. That way they know what to expect. And explain the pros and cons of each program. And once I say, hey, once I give you a pre-approval, it's good as gold.
So they can bank on your pre-approval if they won't be approved.
So my agents, anyone who deals with me or any listing agent that sees my pre-approval that know me, they know, okay, hey, this is a good deal. It'll get done. Because there are a lot of horror stories. I'm sure you, Maurice, have come across it where you get to the closing table a few days before the closing table and all of a sudden the loan is denied. And you can't move forward. I'm not sure how many times that happened to you. That never, ever happens with my customers unless my customers do something to sabotage it at the end there.
So that, speaking of that, it's a perfect segue to give. So what would you tell the customer that they should not do if they're in the process of purchasing a home that would prevent that from happening? Because it's funny you said that. I just experienced that recent past.
When you're buying a house, don't change jobs. Stay at your job. When you don't go buying stuff for your new house, don't take out new auto loans, don't apply for new credit. There's so many things. If you're thinking of doing anything that could jeopardize your loan, talk to your real estate agent and your loan officer because there's so many things out there. And that's what I try to explain to my customers, the do's and don'ts. Pay your bills on time. Make sure you don't have anyone else run your credit. Make sure you save your money. Make sure you don't have any crazy activity going on in your checking account. Large deposits are scrutinized. And what I mean by large deposits, the government wants to know if you have a deposit for $5,000 in your account, they want to know where that's coming from. You know, whether it's cash, cash is no good because the government can't tell where that money came from. So you can't use that money
to help buy a house. As a customer, I don't, you said don't do anything, but it's normal to me. I'm just, I got a credit card in the bank. I'm moving in my home and I'm ready to, you know, I'm a furniture company sent me an offer and I need furniture. As for the customer, they may think that's normal. So you're saying that what should they do? They shouldn't, as if they're in the process of buying a home, what should be their position? What should be their position? Because the customer may think that that's normal.
Yeah.
Or make a large deposit, money in the bank, a large deposit in the bank. How would that affect the loan? How could that blow up the loan? A large deposit.
If that large deposit that can't be traced or make sense, the mortgage company or the bank won't let you use that money towards the purchase of the house. And then if you can't use that money, you might not have enough money to buy the house. So, you know, I have people who come up to me, hey, I have $5,000 in a bank. I mean, under my mattress. I'm going to use that to buy the house. I'm like, well, you got to deposit that before we apply for a loan at least a couple months ahead of time. Or someone let the a family member borrow $5,000 and then that family member just gave them back money in cash. I had that scenario in the past where I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't do that because I know you gave it to your brother or whoever, it was a loan and he's paying you back, but the government can't source that. They need to know that money is coming from something legit, say your payroll or an IRA or some kind of investment that you already had the money. They just want to make sure it's nothing funny, like money laundering or anything like that, or anything, or that money didn't come from any kind of illegal activity.
Got you.
So,
what can a person who is looking to buy, and we may have covered this, in the present climate, right, expect, and what would you advise or recommend for them?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
Sure. So what can a person who is looking to buy in the present climate, in this present market, what can they expect? What would you advise them in this climate? What would you advise them to do?
To find a good real estate agent that knows what they're doing and knows the market, and to save up as much money as they can to try to make themselves as more competitive as possible. If you just have to put yourself in the seller's shoes too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're selling a house, you want to make as much money as you can in your pocket. And if you're asking for seller's assistance and there's another person who's interested in the house and you're not asking for seller's assistance, they're going to go with the person that's not asking for extra money out of their pocket. So I just recommend, you know, being patient, doing your due diligence and preparing yourself, find someone to help guide you that, you know, with saving money or looking at your credit or just preparing you to see what you actually qualify for. And then that's where you could talk with your real estate agent or your lender and to get advice on that and just follow their instructions. We both have your best interests at heart here. And we want to make sure you get in a home and succeed.
Mm-hmm. When you say we both, you mean the real estate professional?
Yes, real estate professional and the lender.
The lender.
And so as long as they work together as a team, everything should go well.
Gotcha.
And all you do is just follow the directions. And if you do what you're supposed to do, everything should be fine.
Thank you, Juan, for your time, your experience, your sharing of your knowledge. And as a recap, I just want to kind of just recap a few things we talked about. We spoke about 3% conventional loan versus a 3.5% FHA loan. We're not saying that either one is better. It really depends on the situation and what the consumer wants. We talked about that the 3% that PMI or mortgage insurance staying with the loan purchase for the life of the loan versus it dropping off. So you can buy a home with 3.5% with an FHA loan, and sometimes 100% of the times that loan, the life mortgage insurance stays with that loan for the life of the loan versus a conventional loan, it can drop off at 20%, or it will automatically drop off at 20%. Is that safe to say? Or
yeah,
it drops off at 20% of the loan.
It's supposed to fall off once you get 20%. Usually it falls off automatically around 22%. That's when it's at 20%, you usually call the bank up and say, hey, I'm at 20%. Yeah.
So for those of you who may have gotten a loan that have, so the difference between mortgage insurance is MIP and PMI, correct? Can you explain what the difference is in those? So those that may have that, you can reach out to your bank. And if you've reached 20% and the way equity have risen, some may be at 20% and may not know it. And you can reach out to your bank and have them take that mortgage insurance off your loan. That's just one takeaway you want to add, that you can reach out to your bank. Oftentimes, it's not that if you pay it down, if your house value goes up above 20%, it also will fall off. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Well, it depends on the loan. Once you pay down 20% of the loan amount, regardless, if you stay in the existing loan, the percentage, the 20% value is going to come off based off the loan amount. So if you get the $250,000, and once you get to 20% of that,
so do they have to get another
$200,000? It should fall off.
So would they have to get an appraisal? What if the value of the home goes up as opposed to the loan? What if the value rises faster than you pay it? Does that 20% fall off? Yeah. Does the mortgage insurance fall off? I'm sorry.
Sometimes you can call the bank up and ask them to recast.
So it depends.
To recast your loan, and then they might order an appraisal to see if that falls off and it works. Gotcha. Not all banks and mortgage companies participate in that. So,
gotcha.
So it all depends on that. But that's just conventional.
Okay.
FHA, it won't matter. Stick with that loan, it's not going to matter because the mortgage insurance is for the life of the loan.
It stays with you for the life of the loan. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also learned about educating the consumer and becoming educated. So you want to get yourself an educated real estate professional, someone that knows what it is. So it's not all real estate agents and mortgage officers are created equal. So if you're looking to buy an investment, you want to get with an agent that has investment experience. You want to get with a mortgage person that have investment experience. If you are looking to buy an investment, you want someone with some experience in first time home buyers. You want someone with experience in the sale of homes, the type of home that you're looking for. We've also talked about that it's safe to say that anywhere between 9 and 12% out-of-pocket money would be a safe number that you would need to buy a home. So for the sake of numbers, if you're buying a $150,000 home, you're roughly going to pay in the margin between 9 and 10% of that, which is 9 and 12%, which will be $9,000 to $12,000. That is the amount of money that you would be bringing to the table. For the sake of numbers, we talked about putting yourself in the seller's shoes. Great point. Often, when I first got in real estate, it was a phrase that was thrown around. Buyers are liars and sellers are storytellers, they would say, you know, and I think that's one of the best takeaways, I think, from today is to put yourself in the shoes of the other side, is to put yourself in the shoes of the seller. If you are a buyer, would you want, you know, the most amount of money for your home if you was on the other side selling? I don't think that happens often enough. Did I leave anything out that we have about 5 minutes And I just want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to reach you, how they can get in contact with you, and open the floor for you to give, you know, the closing remarks. And I just have one other question for you after, but if I left anything out, so did I leave anything out about in the recap?
Yeah, that's pretty good. But the one thing too, I didn't get to mention about 3% down program. They usually require a first-time home buyer's certificate. And
yes.
Depending on the program too, each Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they each have two programs, 3% down. One is, you know, one of them has income limitations and the other one doesn't. So those are, you have to see if you qualify for either one of them. And then, and they're basically the one with 3% down with no income limitations, you have to be a first-time home buyer with that. Where the other one, where the Home Ready, it's called Home Ready for Fannie Mae, you don't need to be a first-time home buyer to qualify for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's income limitations for it. And if you, and if you, and there's a chance that you have to do a first-time home buying course that you could do online, like we're doing right now, and instead of going into a class, you just go online and take the course and print out the certificate. But the Home Ready and the Home Possible, those are, Home Possible is the Freddie Mac version of Home Ready. Those are good programs you could qualify from. You get better pricing on your mortgage rates and on your mortgage insurance.
Got you. Or you can reach out to a HUD-approved housing counseling agent such as myself, or reach out, look for one in your area, and you can get a first-time home buyer certificate as mm-hmm. well. Yep.
FHA doesn't really require a home buyer certificate. They have things that you could go to for guidance and for home buying education, but it's not usually required in FHA, where the with the 3% programs for a first-time home buyer, it is required regardless which program you go with out of the 4 3% down programs.
So there's 4 3% down programs?
Yeah.
Okay.
FHA has Home Ready in their program,
mm-hmm.
Regular with no income limitations. And then Freddie Mac has something called Home Possible, which is better pricing and so on. And it has income limitations. And then they have something called Home One with no income limitations. But they all require first-time home buyer certificates.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so...
So can you tell people how to reach you if someone wants to take advantage of that 3% program that you have?
If they're what?
Someone would like to take advantage of the 3% program. The phone number is below. You can see the your phone number. But can you tell individuals how to reach you, your social media handles, your email address? How can you be reached if someone wants to
reach? Put my phone number here, 610-730-2348. Or if they want to email me at juan.latorres@unitybank.com, I'll get back to them one way or another. Or if they want to shoot me a text, that's my cell phone number, 610-730-2348. And we can either, depending on the situation, we might be able to meet in person, or we just do everything online or over the phone.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like any closing remarks that you'd like to leave for parting words or something that our viewers can take away in their home search, you'd like to leave them with?
Yeah. I mean, in this economy right now, it's always scary looking at buying a home, no matter if you're a first time home buyer or an existing owner. It's good to know that you can rely on someone that knows what they're talking about. So if you do your due diligence and find a good, someone you're comfortable with on the lending side, and also with the realtor. They're out there to help you and guide you. And if you have any questions, make sure, be prepared. Think about what you're getting into, the what ifs. What is, you know, what can I afford? What I really want to pay? Or I had people come to me with a set dollar amount, but they want a bigger house than what that set dollar amount they could afford. So you have to be realistic on what you're looking your monthly payments to be. So if you want to live in a certain neighborhood and that neighborhood is going to cost you $300,000 to be in there, but you want to keep your payments down to, say, $1,200, it's not going to happen. I mean, it has to be realistic and just be like, hey, this is what I could afford and this is what I have to look at in this price range, or get it gauged from a real estate agent or a loan officer like myself or a real estate agent like Maurice, and we could tell you, all right, you're looking at this price range, and we could tell you and guide you what direction to go with.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you can look forward to hearing from us on a continuous basis. You want to hear back from us, we'll be bringing more industry experts to bring. We'll be adding insurance and insurance agents and all the of the food chains that go with the transaction purchase. We will be continuing to come to you on a regular basis, imparting information so that we can help make your transaction a smoother one. As the times change, we want you to stay encouraged and not to think that because the things are looking a little bleak, the interest rates are higher, it just means that you just have to make adjustments. It doesn't mean that one cannot purchase. It's just being smart and become educated and get with someone that knows the business and can help guide you along the way to make the best possible purchase for your money. With that being said, we want to give you the rest of your afternoon back. We want to thank those who have came out and to listen to be with us today. And we look forward to hearing from you and sharing more information with you, the community, with more real estate information in our next show. Stay tuned. Look out for our posts as we post and as we add other industry experts to the panel. And come to bring your questions. And, you know, don't be afraid. Just type your questions. You can type them in the chat. You can join us. And, you know, if you have any topics that you'd like to hear or any topics that you'd like to hear, don't be afraid. Just, you know, let us know. Again, we want to thank our guest, Juan LaTorres from Unity Bank. He can be reached at 610-730-2348. You can reach myself, Maurice Muhammad, at 484-894-8100. And thank you, Juan. Look forward to, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Again, this is a continuous conversation. This is the first time home buyers workshop that never ends. We're going to continue. Thank you. God bless and peace.